to the Word of God with us. Let's just bow in prayer. Our blessed God, we thank you for the privilege we have had this morning to remember the Lord Jesus, and for every thought concerning him that has been before us, we give to thee our thanks. We thank thee that we can now turn to thy word, the word that tells us about the Lord Jesus, the word that has come from thyself, the living word of the eternal God. And we pray that thou would just touch our hearts as we hear it read to us, and the lessons that it brings to us expounded before us, and for the privilege of looking into thy word and learning from it, we give thee thanks. We commit Andrew to thee and ask thy blessing upon him, and pray that thou would guide him and help him as he opens up the scriptures before us today. We commit ourselves to thee. We ask thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
We say good afternoon, but still good morning, so good morning. The subject I want to have a look at this morning is actually a book in the New Testament, and it's the book of Galatians. And I want to just, in the next half hour, 40 minutes, just to go through this book, trying to pick out some of the main points that have struck me when I've been reading it. There's various ways to divide the book up. Various people divide it up in certain portions, but I thought of just three areas when you go through this book, some things that struck me. Now, first of all, just think about the authority with which this book has been written. And then as you proceed through the book, the doctrinal message, the justification through faith in Christ, is brought up. And towards the end of the book, it's the blessings that flow to a person when they accept Christ as their Saviour and have faith in him. So, first of all, just a quick overview of the book. It's written to the churches of Galatia, not a specific church. Churches in the region of Galatia. Churches which were planted, new churches, mainly, if not all, Gentile believers have come into these churches. Paul, who wrote this epistle, I'm sure, went to these churches initially and was instrumental in preaching of the gospel in these areas. But having done that, he moved on. And then some Jewish believers are coming among these churches and were trying to impose their old beliefs that the Gentiles should follow some of their old traditional ways, circumcision, focus on the law. And you see that in chapter 2, verse 4 of the book. It says, "And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." So the liberty that the saints in these churches had because of their faith solely in Christ, they were being brought, as Paul says, potentially back into bondage, because they were then striving to fulfil the law. In Acts 15, verse 1 and 2, it actually explains that situation a little bit better. It says, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" And then Paul attacks that position, or makes his position, the gospel of Christ's position, clear in the next few verses. And he brings up the doctrinal point of justification by faith. He then goes on to explain the benefits of faith in Christ. What bestows on us when we have believed in Christ and have faith in him? And then what our actions and our outward desires should be when we walk with the Spirit of God. So that's just a quick overview of the book. But I just want to focus now just on the authority of the man who wrote this book. You know, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul, an apostle, through Jesus Christ. This is a man who's telling them straight up front that the message he's giving them, the person he's following, is not from a man, but from the Lord himself. Moving down to verse 9, he brings out the fact that the gospel that he preaches is the true gospel. He says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So he's saying, the message which I've preached to you, that's the truth. It's the gospel of Christ. And he's not doing it for the pleasure of men. He's not doing it to seek to please men. He's doing it to bring men to God, to show them the true way to salvation and faith in Christ. You know, today's society, some churches around the world, we try to preach a message which is watered down to please men. Some churches today go down the wrong route of where faith lies and what the gospel is. But Paul's very clear. The message that he's given, that's written in the Bible, is the gospel of Christ. Belief in Christ, faith in Christ, brings you into salvation. Down to verse 11, where the message came from that Paul is preaching. But if I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when I got to that verse, verse 12, it says, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. It took me back into the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to probably 19. And of course, it's where this man Paul, previously known as Saul of Tarsus, met the Lord. Just let's take a minute to read some of these verses here to see who he was before he met the Lord and who he became after he met the Lord. Then Saul, chapter 9, verse 1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And down to verse 15 says, "But the Lord said to him," this is to Ananias, "he said, 'Go, for he," that's Paul or Saul, "is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" I struggle to understand what Saul of Tarsus must have thought on his road to Damascus. He was an educated man. He was educated. He knew the high priests in the Jewish faith. He was in the religious sect. And he was going up to Damascus. And he was focused that those that followed Christ were going to be punished. And he was going to do the punishing. He was going to bind them all up, and he was going to bring them back to Jerusalem for trial before the priests. And then suddenly he saw a light, and it shone around him. And there was Christ speaking to him. The transformation in Paul is incredible. A man focused on destroying the church all of a sudden has this encounter on the road to Damascus, and he hears Christ speaking to him. And the amazing thing that you notice is the other people around him just heard a voice. At the point of your salvation, did you hear God speaking to you? Did you have a realization that God was there? Christ was in front of you. Christ had come to save you. Not to condemn you. Paul had an immense experience with the Lord. So much so that he was blind for 3 days. And it's incredible in my mind that a man, 1 minute, who was going to persecute the Christians, had a meeting with the Lord on that road, and 3 days later, he was preaching the gospel of Christ. The power of God. The power of God to move men. The power of God to use men. Today we sit as a gathered company of believers in Christ. But I'm sure there's a point in your life, maybe not as dramatic in terms of one extreme to the next, that Paul suffered. But there would be a change anyway. That point where you believed in Christ. And it changed your life. It changed Paul's life. It changed Paul's life so much that, of course, he was a chosen vessel of the Lord. And he was going on to preach the gospel of Christ to all the Gentiles. What an experience he had. And that's why he writes verse 12. "For neither I received it from man nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." And then to reinforce it, in case there's any skeptics reading this book, because they're obviously challenging not only the gospel of Christ, but the authority of Paul. He says, "Once I had this revelation, I didn't immediately go and speak to people about it, nor did I go back into Jerusalem to where the apostles of Christ were. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after a period of time, he went to see Peter, but only remained with him a short period of time. And then only saw one other apostle, James, the brother of the Lord. So he's pointing out to them that the revelation, or what he's telling the Galatians, comes from God himself. Came from Christ to Paul, and Paul into this letter to the Galatians. No man gave him this revelation. No man gave him this message. This came from Christ, from Jesus himself. So why did he feel the need to put so much emphasis on the authority of this message that he was telling them? The authority, the message of the gospel of Christ, the doctrinal point that he was making. It's because it's so foundational. It's so foundational for belief in Christ. Of course, as I said before, the Jews were coming into this church and they were saying, you must follow the law. And in their eyes, following the law and meeting the criteria of the law was a road to justification. And Paul's saying that's wrong. Verse 16 in chapter 2 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. He's very clear in that verse. He speaks about the works of the law won't give justification. Now we speak about being justified by faith. And Paul goes on to speak about that a little bit more. And it's easy to say, justified by faith. But do you grasp the immensity of it? You are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So that the time that you, point in time that you come and stand before the throne of God, you'll be just in his eyes. That's what it means. Just in the eyes of a holy God. And you only get that position by faith in Christ. That's Paul's point. Nothing else will get you to that point. Nothing you will do or can say. You can't keep God's law. You can't work your way to justification. The only way you can have be justified before a holy God is through Christ and faith in Christ. That's Paul's point. And although this is written to the Jews, today it's the same. You can't get there by works. You can't be justified by works. No matter how hard you try, you won't be justified by works in front of a holy God. But then think of what that costs God. Your justification. To stand before the throne of God and for him to look at you and see a just person, a holy person, no blemish. Think how much that cost him. It cost him his son's death at the cross of Calvary. Christ died at the cross so that we could be justified before the throne of God. What an immense message that is that Paul's telling them. What an immense message that is. And he goes on and he says in verse 20, having had faith in Christ, believed in him, what have you done? You've identified yourself with Christ. and what changes have happened to you. Verses 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Identification with Christ, faith in Christ. It says, crucified with Christ. Just as Christ died for your sin, you have identified yourself with him. He's forgiven your sins, and therefore, in reality, you have been crucified with him. And the fact is, who you were, just like Paul, who he was, he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What a great thing that is. To think, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ lives in you. And then Paul goes on to explain the other benefits. Having had faith and put your belief in Christ and identified yourself with Christ, he goes on to mention the Holy Spirit. How did he say to these people, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Was it of works of the law or by the hearing of faith? At the point of belief in Christ, putting your faith in him, identifying with him, the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, comes to dwell within us. What a great thing that is. To have in you the power of the Holy Spirit to help you along your way. To help you react to situations, not the way that the flesh or the human would react, but the way that God would react. We'll come to that, the fruits of the Spirit. And Paul, because he's speaking to the Jewish believers, takes them back to the Old Testament in verse 6 and says, brings up the situation of Abraham. Says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham before saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. He brings them to the point that it's belief again. Belief in God. Just as Abraham was blessed because he believed God, so the Christian is blessed because he's believed God. He's been justified because of his faith in Christ. He's just before a holy and righteous God. And not only have you now got the Holy Spirit indwelling in you as a Christian, he goes on further down the chapter, verse 26. It says this, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Having put our faith in Christ, all of a sudden it's opened up all these blessings that come to you. As you have put on Christ, his righteousness has been put on you. At the cross of Calvary, he died for your sin, and having belief in him, identifying with him, it's as though you've put on Christ and all his righteousness has covered you. in front of God. In front of God. And it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, and there is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. Unity of the Spirit. There is no differentiation. We are all one in Christ. Isn't that amazing? What a blessing we have. That we are all equal in the sight of God, in His Spirit. And you're all equal because you believe in Christ. So the benefits of believing in Christ. And then verse 4, chapter 7, brings before us the fact that chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So not only have we been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, not only are we now unified in the Spirit, sons of God, it says then an heir of God through Christ. What an inheritance we have come into. The inheritance of the Creator God. And you know what? We'll be able to stand before Him justly, because we've been justified by our faith in Christ. What a hope we have. But that's not all, because in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul then brings up the concept of liberty. All these people that come into these churches were saying that they must follow the law, do things. And Paul's concept was, well, if you're trying to do something and always try to strive for something, you're in bondage to that thing. You're trying to always attain something. But our faith in Christ has made us free from all these things. Because your salvation has been attained through your belief in Him. Justification has been attained through faith in Him. Inheritance into the kingdom of God has been attained because your faith in Him. And that's why he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So Christ has made us free. Free to do what? Do what you like? No. Free to serve Him, to glorify Him in all that you do. And you show that in your character and your dealing with situations. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, having put faith in Christ, having received the benefits, we've come to a different point of the view of the world. No longer are you striving or should be striving for something. Because all these works of the flesh, they're all designed for you to get somewhere, to do something. What are you striving for today? It doesn't say you'll slip. But what we need to guard against is walk in the Spirit of God. What should drive you is the fruits of the Spirit. When I look down all these characteristics, the works of the flesh, we're always striving to do something. And the fruits of the Spirit, we're always giving something. As Christians today, are we giving something? Or is the flesh getting the better of us? And are we striving for something? You know, are we giving joy and peace and love to others? Are we faithful to others? We've got good self-control in difficult situations. These are the aspects which a believer should portray to others. Not like one who's without Christ, who's driven by the flesh, who's always trying to strive, is jealous, is envious of things. Selfish ambitions. We as Christians should show the fruits of the spirits in our actions, not the works of the flesh. That was a quick run through the book of Galatians. There's so much depth in it. When I started looking at it, I thought there's three sections. But as you go into it more and more, there's whole areas that you can speak on. Whole areas that takes your minds to other parts of the Bible. But as I said, when I started off, I just looked at the three big areas. The authority with which this book was given to us. Who gave it? It was a man who was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians. Had a meeting with Christ and it changed his life. It was a man on that road was giving a message, the gospel of Christ, to tell the Gentile believers, the Gentiles of the world. That was his mission, to tell them the gospel of Christ. And he was clear. Justification comes through faith in Christ. And through faith in Christ, we have all these immense benefits and blessings. The Holy Spirit has come into us. We are unity in the Spirit with God, heirs of God through Christ. And our attitude should change to one another and to those around us. And they should see more Christ-like behaviour. More fruits of the Spirit from our behaviour. So I'll leave you with one verse that comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, know that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Shall we pray? Well, Father, thank you again for this opportunity we have had to open your word and learn something of our blessings and our hope that we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And learn something about the things we need to watch out for in our lives and things that might distract us and take us away from your Christ. But the thing we must realise, that the most important thing is faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings immense blessings, but it cost him his life at Calvary, and we are grateful for that, and we give thanks for that this morning in his holy and precious name. Amen.